Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, because we are a multicultural society, there's a lot more languages here. According to the CSO, at least 72 different languages are spoken in Ireland. For some years, the Mother Tongue Festival has been running, which celebrates that diversity. It takes place this year on the 21st and 22nd of February at Red Rua and the Civic Theatre in Talla. One of the speakers at the festival is Ulla Quinley Animashin, who is an adjunct lecturer in Trinity College. Quinley, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon.
So you're going to be talking about Yoruba?
Yes.
Which is one of the languages in Nigeria.
Yeah.
How many languages are spoken in Nigeria?
There are 250 ethnic tribes in Nigeria, and about 500 languages are spoken in Nigeria.
Oh my! And would those languages be related to each other in the kind of the same family, if you know what I mean?
In some areas, there would be similarities in the way people speak, but the accent, tone, and tonality will be totally different. There are many Nigerians in Ireland that that would be my compatriots. But unless we speak a generalized language like English, we don't understand each other.
Oh,
so
right.
There would be many people in Nigeria that they share the entity, Nigeria as a country, but they do not actually understand each other apart from similarity of nationality.
Right. Okay. So, but like English would be kind of, if you like, the tongue in common people would have in Nigeria. So apart from English, what would be the most widely spoken language?
The interesting thing about Nigeria as a country is, I think in the process of wanting to explore that identity about, in terms of how do they find a common ground in communicating and excluding the colonialists during the colonial times. There's a genre of language, of English language that was, developed, and it's called Pidgin.
Mm.
And so it's like English language, but upside down.
Yeah.
So if I'm to say to you, how are you? I'll just go, are you day? Are you day?
Right.
So what's happening? What's in the shelley? You know, so, but if I want to go deeper and I want to talk about something very critical or something very that has a bit of context, I'll go like, who you be? That who are you?
Yeah.
So unless you have that opportunity to have probably experience the language, learn about the culture, and understand the mechanism, you'll be excluded in a way.
Yeah. Oh, God, I would have thought so. So apart from the Pidgin English, then, so Yoruba would be a very widely spoken language.
Yeah, in the western part of Nigeria.
Yeah, and what other ones would be the most spoken?
Like I said, there are about 500 languages, but the main ones that are widely spoken and would be Yoruba, Igbo, and the Hausa. And geographically, if you could spread it and organize it in a way, Yoruba would be mainly predominant in the western part of Nigeria. Hausa would be in the northern part, and Igbo would be in the eastern part. Shout out to my fellow Nigerians who are not Yoruba. The Igbos are the most vibrant people, amazing culture, vibrancy. The northern part, amazing culture, amazing people. But there are other tribes in Nigeria also that are not often mentioned, but that deserve to be mentioned, like the Edo, the Ibibios, the Calabars, the Gwaris, the Fulanis. It's a rainbow nation, a kind of amalgamation of people and culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, say speakers of Yoruba are obviously, as you said, in northern Nigeria.
Western Nigeria,
sorry. But, like, I assume that extends past the borders. It's just post-colonial drew big lines through it in what were kind of, I suppose, ethnic groups that in another set of circumstances would be a completely different country.
To put in context, if the population of Nigeria is actually around 250 million people, so if Yoruba would account for about maybe 20 or 25% of that population, that means in Nigeria alone, there are about 50 million people that speak the language. Mm. So, but the way naturally that nations and cities and tribes evolved, naturally, from time immemorial, Yorubas will be found in the western part of Nigeria and along the west coast of Africa. So Yoruba will be found in, like I said, Nigeria, in Benin Republic, in Togo, in Ghana, Ivory Coast, Sierra Leone, Liberia. And then because of the way that slavery moved people from Africa in the 1500s, in the 1400s, in the 1600s, we have the Yoruba spoken and the culture itself being practiced in places like Haiti, in places like Cuba, Brazil, and some Latin American countries. Up to today, one of the most extensive cultural celebration in Bahia, in Brazil, is Yoruba Day. In the religion and lifestyle, we have Candomblé, we have Santeria, all emanating from the Yoruba culture.
Yeah, and are there different dialects then of Yoruba as it's spread around different parts of the world?
I think because in Nigeria itself, there are different dialects of Yoruba.
Yeah.
But the commonality would be when somebody not from my own dialect speaks, I'll be able to pick the essence of the language.
Yeah.
So imagine now when the culture was transported to the Americas, I think in the process of the people wanting to retain their cultural identity, the dialect would have converged and into one, you know, simplified understanding of the language. So when somebody from Brazil speaks their own version of the Yoruba, I'm almost like straining my ear to understand what they are saying. But you could know and recognize the symbols of Oshun, Yemoja, Ogun, the god of iron, and all those things that are predominant in Yoruba culture.
How old is the language?
Like time itself. if it's assumed or is believed that life began in Africa, because I always question the veracity of the claim of in the beginning God created the world. The people must have come from somewhere. So I would, because if, even in archaeologically, there were artifacts found in Ile-Ife that predate history. Ile-Ife is the center point of the Yoruba race, of the Yoruba people. And if you Google it, there are artifacts that were found, bronze artifacts that predate our understanding of how, you know, iron came into being. So to answer your question directly, how old is the language? It would be like time itself, you know.
Okay, so they don't know, basically.
Yeah, we don't know, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, pre-colonialism, what kind of a society was a Yoruba society?
A snippet of it was dramatized in the Woman King by Viola Davis.
Yeah.
It's a kingdom, in a way, but that spread all the way from Nigeria to Benin, to Togo. So if to carve out what the Yoruba Empire would be, the Ife Empire would be, it would be like the size of four European countries put together now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, and so is it known? Was there like one king? Was it a series of kind of little fiefdoms? Or is it known how it worked?
In history, the way we are taught, the way we know it, the center point of the Yoruba cultural race would be Ile-Ife. It's called Ile-Ife.
Mm-hmm.
And from there are other Yoruba towns spread across across the western part of Africa. And then, in a way, because of the conflict of nation building and nations forming, then there would be a war that was fought between the Yoruba Empire and the Dahomey. And the Dahomey are in present-day Republic of Benin.
Mm.
So in a way, the influence of the Yoruba got spread by the Yoruba Empire at that time, overpowering the Dahomey. And you know the way colonialism works. So when they overpowered them, they took on their culture and started reflecting in the life of the people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite extraordinary then, because then the Yoruba empire would have spread, and then other empire, you know, other kingdoms would have shrunk, or would they have been extinguished altogether?
Yeah. One of them would be the Benin Empire. Benin. Now, not the Benin in the Republic of Benin. There's another town. There's a place called Benin in Nigeria. It's amazing, huge, very successful empire. And like one of the atrocities or unfortunate element of Western focus on or negating or neglecting African history and culture will be the focus on anything that, you know, explore or examine Western ideals. Because the Benin Empire, up till today, there's a Benin wall, the wall of Benin, that still stands till today, will be about maybe 500 years old. But it's not been told, nobody knows about it.
Ah.
And
this was to keep the Yoruba out, was it?
Yeah. In a way.
All right,
yeah.
A kind of a Hadrian's Wall type kind of scenario. And in the Yoruba Empire, was the capital a city? How did people live?
It's one of the many earliest democracies I could remember. There would be a king, but the way I remember it, there's a king who's the ultimate head, but there would be council of elders that would make decisions that the king has to abide by. There's something in history that I learned, because apart from the Leife, there's another town, the Yoruba Empire, the Oyo Empire. Because apart from the Leife that the Yoruba believed that they emanated from, that's their source, the real empire that is well recognized, documented, is called Oyo. And it's even mentioned in the Woman King, the Oyo Empire. And the reason why the Woman King became emboldened was because the emissaries from the Oyo king comes every now and then to take items from them. So for all the crops they make, all things they have to sell in the market, a percentage of it have to be sent to the king. And so you can imagine the king sending that maybe every fortnight. And then the woman in the play, Viola Davis, the character said, no, we are not having this anymore. And that's the basis of the story. So the Oyo Empire is headed by the king and then by the Council of Elders. But what is interesting about the Yoruba way of life is the way the Council of Elders, when they found the king behaving abysmally, could
get rid of the king.
Could advise him to abdicate the throne or commit suicide or something.
Suicide, a bit harsh, abdicate the throne. Wait, is a lot of Yoruba history, was it written down? Was it passed down orally?
It's passed down orally, but there was a man called Samuel Ajayi Crowder. And the word is out there that in the annals of history, would he be regarded as having done more for the Yoruba culture or not? Because he's the man, Samuel Ajayi Crowder, in Nigeria history, would be the person that translated the first African adaptation of the Bible. So into Yoruba, the first translation of the Bible into any African language would be into Yoruba. but was born by Samuel Ajayi Crowder. That's the name.
Mm.
But what is interesting is, in its translation, the antagonists in the Bible that is well known, documented in the Bible, is called Satan. So in Samuel Ajayi Crowder's efforts to translate the Bible, now pick on one of the gods of the Yoruba people. And the Yoruba revere their gods.
Mm.
We have the Ogun, the god of iron, Shango, the god of thunder. And we have a god that is a god that is known as being mischievous. So when anybody is mischievous within the community, they said it's the god that is dealing with him. Mm. In a way, that particular god is called... Eshu.
Mm.
Eshu in Yoruba cosmology is not a bad god. It's only mischief. So mischief, gift of the gab, to be able to wow people and get out of difficult situations. So if you are a Yoruba person 400, 500 years ago and you have the gift of the gab and you are able to weave yourself out of difficulty, say, yeah, you are being followed and being revered by the Eshu. Now, Samuel Ajayi Crowder, in translating the Bible, found a replica, try to find a common similarity between who or what God can equal for the people to be able to understand. So he said, Eshu is Satan.
Yeah. And which is a common story, really, in loads of colonized parts of the world. So today in Nigeria, would Yoruba people be very aware of, you know, their separate culture and their separate language? Is Nigeria a little bit divided that way?
A little bit, totally. One of the interesting things, which I'm really, really proud of, and I'm happy to be here to discuss this with you today, is the Yorubaness in me, you understand? And this I'm putting out there, that what would make a culture that, of all the cultures, of all the people that were transported, 8 million people from Africa, even up to 50, some people are claiming 15 million people were transported during the slave trade era.
Mm.
Which of all the cultures survive up till today? That in Cuba today, if you put in Google and you say Yoruba, Cuba, tons of articles will come out about people practicing the religion up to today, even more than the people in Nigeria. If you put in Yoruba, Brazil, so of all the people that were transported from West Africa, from other parts of Africa, the only one that survived it till today, that has been practiced, as I'm talking to you now, is Yoruba culture. And so there's something about that that we need to take away, and that's the ability of the Yoruba people to have a sense of identity. And that's what I always, when I'm talking about this animatedly, as I'm happy to talk about, I always find a common convergence of this concept in my head and what it means to be Irish. You understand?
I completely understand. Yeah, you go away and then you're more Irish.
Yeah.
And then you're more Yoruba because it's been taken away from you.
That ability to be who you are, understand who you are, understand where you're coming from, then that ability to have a common sense of purpose, conviviality, friendliness, that... 500 years after, your culture is still surviving up to today.
Yeah, that's a hell of a thing. Quinley, that was fascinating. And thank you so much for coming in to talk to us today. If you'd like to hear more of that, Quinley Animation will be speaking at the Mother Tongue Festival. That's taking place on the 21st and 22nd in Tala at the Civic Theatre. Quinley, thanks a million.
Thank you so much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.